Well, last week we started looking at the renewed mind, and just real briefly, we started in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And we also looked at John 10:10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. So we know that God has intention and has gone at great cost to provide for us to have an abundant life. In fact, it says more than abundant life. Now, there's been unbelievable amount of translations and interpretations of what that means. But it would be really cool to finally understand what that means. And we know that the thief comes only to steal, and Jesus came that we might have life. If you want to go to Romans chapter 12, this is really the verse that is a great diving board for talking about the renewed mind, because that's what it's about, and really gives us the process in a very short little verse. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And as we talked about last week, the difference between conformed and transformed is really a huge difference, because conformed means to be pressed into shape. It's almost like if I handed you a water balloon. You could press it into almost any shape you wanted to. Mm-hmm. What happens when you turn loose of it? Pops right back. Okay? So religion tries to conform us and to press us into shape so that we fit within their mold. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On the other hand, the renewing of the mind, the word used here is transformed, which is metamorphosis, which is an inside change. It's a change from the inside. And it's not just a change in shape, but it is indeed a change in what you are. You know, it's just like that caterpillar that's a worm that goes through the metamorphosis and ends up as a beautiful butterfly. These words aren't chosen by accident. God used these words specifically. And so this contrast is a very real contrast. And as we look at the renewed mind, we need to keep that in mind, that we're talking about an inside job here. It's not about acting better. It's not about figuring out, you know, how to set, or, you know, what songs to sing, or, you know, it's about a change happening within us. And as that change within us happens, then we begin to act differently because of what's happened within us. Not the other way around. Okay? Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, in English, that's a simple little sentence, and it seems to... But it says so much more than it does in English. Keep. This is Hebrew, so it's netzar. Hebrew means to guard or to maintain. And it's used in many other places to talk about a guard standing at the gate. Okay? It's literally guard. It means draw your sword and guard. Guard what? Guard your heart. Guard your heart. And we know that in the Bible, heart, well, today we think about the heart as that beating pump in there, but in the Bible when it says heart, and we'll get more into that in probably next week, because we're going to get into the words for mind in the New Testament, and one of the words is heart. Moose, I've got a poster over here. I'll describe it for you. What I've got is two circles, and a big circle with a little circle inside of it. And the big circle represents our mind. And inside of there is a smaller circle, and in the middle of that is the word heart. Okay? Now, our heart, from a biblical sense, is part of our mind. But it's not our whole mind. The heart is that part of us that is firmly convinced. It's our habitual mind response. It's who we are. It's that part of you when you stick your finger against the burner at the stove that says, move that hand. And you do it so fast you don't even think about it. But to move your hand, the way the brain works, you had to think about it. It's just such an automatic response that you don't have to sit there and think, okay, now what do I do? Okay, move my finger back, now move my arm. Okay, because it's in your heart. It's at the point where believing happens. Believing equals receiving. If at the heart of you, you are fearful, your very natural automatic response is fear. Mm-hmm. And if that truly is your heart, you can say, I'm not afraid, but you're still afraid. Okay? And it is indeed the heart that needs to be renewed. Okay? So Proverbs 4:23, keep or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Well, that word diligence is another word, it's mishmar, another Hebrew word. Guess what? It means to guard. It's used in the same way the other one is. Guess what? It's a figure of speech. It's used in two words repetitiously to emphasize that you need to guard. And really in English we would say guard your thoughts with much guarding. Don't go to sleep. Don't let your guard down. Guard it. Guard your thoughts. Guard your heart. Because out of it are the issues of life. Now that word issues is a very interesting word. It's a word that means the source and the result. And here's a mind picture for you of what this word means. Think about high in the mountains there's this little spring. And there out of the ground bubbles this nice clean water. And it trickles down the mountain and joins with others. And further down it joins with others and becomes a big stream. And then it goes into a river. And that river goes into the huge river like the Mississippi. And it ends up in the ocean. Mm-hmm. And out there in the ocean, the sun hits it, it evaporates. And it goes up into the clouds, blows in over the mountains, and it rains back down on the mountains. goes through the mountains and purified, comes bubbling out of that little spring again. That's what this word means. The issues, the whole cycle of your life. Guard your thoughts with much guarding, for out of your thoughts results your way and quality of life. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That, the results of that, you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The issues of our life are a result of our thoughts. So how important is it to renew our mind? I mean, is that not the central thing that we as believers do? We are born again. We're born of God's seed. And then he says, renew your mind. Now, here's something in all my years of studying the Word and living life I have discovered. It's simple, but it's profound. If God said that he would do it, he will do it. Mm-hmm. There is no question, and there's no doubt. He will, because he's faithful. But if God told us to do it, he's not going to do it. Because he told us to do it. Well, guess what? He told us to renew our mind. So we can sit here in our fear by our choice. And from that fear comes the issues of our thought. We will live with the results of fear unless we choose to renew our mind. Proverbs 23. I'll just read it to you. You don't have to go there. It says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's another way of talking about the issues that come from our... You think it, that's who you are. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now we have all heard this verse, these verses, used over and over and over again in relation to the deliverance ministry, and they use that those strongholds as spiritual strongholds, that there's devil spirits keeping you from thinking this and keeping you from believing, and strongholds over this city and strongholds. This has nothing to do with that. Nothing. For we walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That word mighty means capable, possible, or powerful. Or actually a combination of those words. It's kind of a word that comes from dunamis. Potential power, but it has a little slightly different connotation that means capable. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are powerfully capable through God. To the pulling down at Strong's 2506 means demolition. The demolition of strongholds, okay? What's a stronghold? Well, that Greek word, it's Strong's number 3794, means a holding or a safe holding. Actually, it was used to mean a fortification. There's a figure of speech here that we're in the middle of that's using the analogy of a fortress. It's using the warfare analogy here. And he's talking about the fortifications that we have built up within our mind. Okay? Pulling down of strongholds, not a period there, it's a semicolon, casting down, that's another word, it's actually the same word that pulling down and casting down are exactly the same word. It means demolition, pulling down imagination, okay? So that word imagination is a Greek word that means, get this Moose, computation. It's what you've reasoned and come to a conclusion. It's things you believe.
Would you do that again? Go back to casting down to the demolition. Do that again.
Okay. The pulling down and the casting down are both the same word.
Okay.
And it's the Greek word 2506.
Yep.
And it means demolition or the destruction.
Okay.
Of strongholds and imaginations. In the King James, it's imaginations.
Mm-hmm.
But the word that's translated imaginations is computation or reasoning or a conclusion.
Cool.
All right?
Wow.
Now, and that word comes from, the base word that comes from, a Greek word that means to take inventory, to estimate, or to conclude, or to count. And so we take inventory, we compute it, and we make a decision. And that becomes a stronghold. Do you have any of those? My goodness, I do. Keep finding them. Well, what are those strongholds? Okay, it's strongholds, and then let's go back to verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Okay, here again, that word high things, people use it, they teach that the strongholds are spiritual strongholds, and they're devil spirits, and they say the high things it's referring. But it's not. It's a continuation of the analogy. A high thing is a barrier in a fort. It's the wall of the fort. It's the hedge around the city that there's guards at to keep the enemy from coming in. And we have those within our mind. So casting down imaginations and every high thing, every barrier that exalts itself, every barrier that rises up against what? The knowledge of God. For the weapons, verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God, and pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now there in three verses is a description of the renewed mind. A renewed mind has every thought in captivity. You have them in captivity. You control them in obedience to Christ. That's our goal. The renewed mind is the key to power, love, and a sound mind. Remember that verse where we started? That is the key. That is the key. And the process, it doesn't happen in one fell swoop. How wonderful it would be if it did. But evidently that was not God's plan. Or when we got born again, we would have received a perfectly renewed mind. But we got Christ in us, the mind of Christ in us. We have Christ in us. He is our source. He is our all in all, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There's so many strongholds that we have. Religion just fills us with all of these things. We're always looking for methods. And when we get aggravated at the method that we're doing, we look for a new method. Something that I've sadly discovered lately was, you know, I've been really excited that the internet is just full of stuff about the house church movement. And I thought, people are waking up and they're moving away from the prophetic movement. But the more I read and the more I find out, the same people are behind that movement as is behind the prophetic movement. It's just another method. Okay, I'm not saying all of them, but if you, by the way, there's Moose, you sent me a thing about a website. I went to that website, and it is a good website. They've got some great articles on there. And links to all sorts of places that have some good articles. And I saved it as a favorite, and I've been checking it out. How do you know if a book can be trusted, or if a website is, well, number one, if a person made it, you know there's a problem somewhere. Because nobody's perfect.
Right.
I guarantee you there's things on my website that one of these days I'll discover and say, whoa, I got to get rid of that. Or I've got to change that. I do that all the time. Because I learn and I discover, oh, that wasn't so good. But here's a clue. You know what I do is I go to a website, and if it has a way to search the site, I put in Christ in you. And I do a search. Because that's where it all starts. And if they're talking about Christian life, and if they don't know about Christ in you, what are they talking about?
Mm.
Another method.
Mm.
Okay? And then I start looking at who they credit. And like if you look in a book, go to the back and see who they credit with all of it, where they got all of their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be surprised sometimes at who they consider to be great scholars.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes you a little bit suspect of the book. Why do I say that? Because as we're renewing our mind, what we put in our mind results in the issues of life.
Mm-hmm.
We need to guard with all guarding, because we are being attacked and come at from every direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just those that are obviously the world, but we're come at from every direction religiously. And so truly, everything that we read, everything that we hear, we need to have a filter up and catch the stuff that's not the Word. Now, I went to that website, Moose, and there's some wonderful stuff on there, but I have to have my filter on.
Right, yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
When I'm talking to you, Moose, I hope you've got your filter on.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes things come out of me that's not the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And we all need to have our filter. We have to guard with all guarding. And for today, I think I'm just going to talk about two kinds of knowledge that's available to us, and we'll close with that, just kind of as an introduction to where we're going next week. As believers, we have two sources of knowledge. One is natural knowledge, and the other is spiritual knowledge. We have Christ in us. We have the mind of Christ. And our brain, our thought process, our mind can communicate with spirit. It also communicates quite nicely with the natural world. So we really have a choice. We have a choice of either natural knowledge, and we need both. We have to have both. Natural knowledge and spiritual knowledge. On the natural side, we have five senses, and that's how we take in knowledge. And we're doing it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on the spiritual side, we receive information from Spirit, and that's Holy Spirit. That's Christ in you. Now, is it available to take in knowledge from other kinds of spirits? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But that's what that guarding's about. We need to learn and know how to tell. Natural knowledge has to do with works. Spiritual knowledge has to do with grace. Natural knowledge is limited. Spiritual knowledge is unlimited. Natural knowledge is unreliable. Spiritual knowledge is reliable. Natural knowledge is anything that we receive into our minds via the five senses. So when we read our Bible, that's natural knowledge. Okay? When we go down and read the tabloids at the grocery store, that's natural knowledge. Right? Okay? All right. Now, spiritual knowledge does not come by the five senses. That comes via the Spirit. That comes by way of the manifestations. That is what manifestations are all about. Manifestations aren't a show on Sunday morning up front of the church. Manifestations is a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week part of a believer's life. God will speak to you anytime, and probably is if you open up and listen. In any given situation, there is revelation about what you can't know by your five senses. Two kinds of knowledge. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.